evening. I hope you've all had a wonderful week. I want to be really honest right from the start. I love camp. Camp holds a special place in my heart. I'm supposed to get emotional at the end. In 1987, I met a young lady at Yorkshire Christian Camp. She became my wife. And this year we celebrated 25 years married together. And my family are sick of hearing about the holiday we had to celebrate. But I'm going to share something that happened that has led to some distress over the last couple of evenings. We went away on a romantic break for 2 weeks in Mexico. And halfway through the week, we booked a little bit of an excursion to do something we've never done before. Well, I'd never, definitely never done before. We went on a horse riding trek through the Mexican jungle. It was fantastic. But something spoilt it for me. The morning before we went for something to eat. We went in the afternoon on the horse ride, and we went for something to eat in the morning, and I bit into my chicken wrap and left my tooth in the chicken wrap. I was devastated. We were on a romantic break together. I was looking forward to some nice selfie pictures with the horse riding. It'll be okay. I'll just keep my mouth shut. We just won't take any photos. We arrived at the ranch, and I was so pleased when the lady that was taking us round said, "It's just you two today. There were supposed to be six of us, but it's just you two." I thought, fantastic, no one's going to see my toothless grin. And as we got mounted on our horses, she then announced that there was a professional photographer going to follow us for the full journey. I cannot share the pictures. A couple of days later, I managed to source some dental cement. Temporary dental cement that kept my tooth in for 3 and 4 hours at a time. We were walking back one evening from a meal, and Emma, as she is well known to do, made me laugh. And I laughed so hard I spat my tooth out. And we spent 30 minutes searching through the grass looking for my tooth. My tooth is currently held in with super glue. And I have it with me just in case. Because for the last 2 nights, I have had a nightmare about speaking up here, cracking a joke, making myself laugh, and spitting my tooth into the audience. I'm praying that I don't need to use my super glue. This week we have looked at some great rulers and leaders. And we've considered some big decisions, some massive choices. Saturday night we considered a question which we are all sick of hearing, the phrase of leave or remain. When one of my favourite Bible characters was the lead character that evening on Saturday, Moses. And on Sunday, Joshua played the lead role when we thought about a time to choose. Monday evening, and the decision was innocent or guilty, when Pilate became the man we talked about. Tuesday's choice was stand up or bow down, when we had Daniel, the man of prayer. And last night, another of my personal Bible favourite characters, King David. And the question was inside or outside. And tonight we bring our evening sessions to a close with what can not only be described as a big decision, but a huge decision, a massive decision. And perhaps the most important decision. And what a beautiful name we have, asking the question tonight. Jesus, tonight we ask, follow or forsake. We live in a world that for many, the number of followers that we have is so, so important. It becomes an obsession. The number of followers we have can be seen as a marker for how successful you are, how popular you are. People actually make a living from the number of followers they have on social media platforms like Instagram. Being an Instagram influencer is actually a real job. Taking photos of yourself in a particular brand of clothing can earn you a salary. I don't know how long you've been coming to camp, but me and Donald were doing that up here 5 years ago. We never got paid a penny. Follow this, follow that, follow him, follow her. I wonder how many followers you have. I, and you won't believe this, I have 593 followers. And I'm proud of every single one. I don't know who 583 of them are, but they chose, for some reason, to follow me. I wonder who you follow. Are you one of the 177 million people who follow Cristiano Ronaldo on Instagram? I wonder if you're one of the 84 million people that follow Taylor Swift on Twitter. I wonder if you're one of the 75 million followers that Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, has on Facebook. You know, my life would be lacking. My life would be lacking. It would be lacking in something if I couldn't look on Instagram and see what David Beckham had had for lunch. If I couldn't read the tweets of Justin Bieber, my life would be incomplete. I'm joking, of course. I don't follow David Beckham. What does it mean to follow? What does it mean to be a follower? What is a follower? You know, perhaps the most important book after God's Word, the Bible, of course, would maybe be the dictionary. For me, it would be a toss-up between the dictionary and the Hungry Hungry Caterpillar, because I'm a massive fan of both. But this is how the dictionary describes a follower. A person or thing that follows, a person who follows another in regard to his or her ideas or beliefs. A person who imitates, copies, an attendant, a servant, or disciple. A follower. Our character tonight, our subject this evening, is this man, Jesus. He's been our theme all week. He is the very reason we have a Yorkshire Christian camp, because we want to tell you about this man that we follow. I'm going to try and make this as simple as possible, because speakers are often guilty of saying, we all remember the story where this happened, or we all remember that verse in such and such a book. You know what? No, we don't all know. And sometimes there are people in the audience who don't know that story, who don't know that verse. So you forgive me if I try and make this as simple as possible. Because there are people in here tonight who are hearing these things for the very first time this week. You know, from the moment Jesus began his teaching, he issued the invitation to follow him. Jesus was around 30 years of age when he began the work that God, his Father, had put him on this earth to start. And he began doing what we often describe as his ministry, his teachings, his preachings. And he chose 12 guys, 12 individuals, 12 companions, 12 mates, for want of a better word, to accompany him as he traveled round telling people of God's love for them. Four quick verses, and if you've never heard these before, or you've heard these before, you don't need a Bible, you don't need to turn to them, they will be on the screen. if this is working. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. I love these accounts of Jesus calling his first disciples. I picture the scene, and it makes me smile, because these guys were busy at work. They were going about their daily routine. And this complete stranger walks up to them and says, "Follow me." And they drop what they are doing and they follow him. I imagine what that would be like where I work. If a man suddenly appeared in the doorway that we'd never seen before and said to me, "Follow me," I wonder how my employers would feel if I suddenly got up from my desk and walked away. I'm praying on Monday morning that happens, because I'm out of there. You know, these guys, they weren't special people. They were just ordinary people. They weren't prominent, high-ranking members of society. They held no position socially that made them any better than anyone else. They were just ordinary people in ordinary jobs, living very ordinary lives. They came with faults, they came with failings, they came with the same, I no doubt, same stresses and issues in life that we still suffer with today. And Jesus wanted them. Follow This isn't a one-off occasion with these four fishermen. A few chapters later, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. First of all, we had the ordinary people, the everyday fishermen. Now we have the unpopular, the unloved, the unwanted, the taxman, getting the same request to follow me. And what do all these characters have in common? One, God wanted them. Two, they listened when Jesus spoke. And three, they responded and they followed. 22 times in the first four books of the New Testament, Jesus is recorded as saying those two words, "Follow me," issuing an invitation for us to become a follower. Along with the title of Follower Forsake for this evening's meeting, I was given a verse for tonight's message. And it's found a couple of chapters just further on from these invitations we've just read. But it isn't an invitation for one specific person. It isn't directed at a particular character in the Bible. It is, as we will read, an invitation to us all. A lot of speakers will say, if you take one thing home, take this. Well, this is the bit to take home. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This is Jesus' invitation to us all. An invitation to come to him, an invitation to follow him. Does your heart not skip a beat when you notice the words there, "all of you"? If anyone ever asks you, "Where's your name in the Bible? Where's Dave Hall's name in the Bible?" I'm just there. That's me. I'm the all of you. You, each one of us, that's the all of you. With our faults and with our failings, God wants us. You might be sat there thinking to yourself, why on earth would God want me? Why would God be interested in my life? As rubbish as I am, with all the baggage that I carry, with all my faults and all my weaknesses, why would God have the slightest desire to call me? Why would God want to use me? I'm not a Moses, I'm not a Joshua, I'm not a David. You know, Moses, he was the man that God chose to lead his people out of captivity. We talked about him on Saturday night. Over 1 million people followed him out of Egypt. But Moses was just an ordinary guy with the same problems that some of us battle each day. Would you believe that the man that God chose for his spokesperson for the whole nation of Israel suffered with a speech impediment? Would you believe that Moses had massive issues with his self-esteem? He constantly battled with the idea that he was not good enough. Moses reached a point during the escape from exile that he actually asked God to end his life. Blot me out of your book. Moses was just like you, and he was just like me. There were times when he, in his life, was bruised and broken. Yet God chose him. God wanted him. God loved him. And God used him. There are many that would argue that anxiety and depression are illnesses that have only appeared in recent years. Last night, Matt brought to us the story of King David, the greatest king the nation of Israel would ever see. God's chosen man, just an ordinary bloke. David's life was littered with moments of anxiety and depression, moments of weakness and times of failing. You know, David wrote the book of Psalms in the Bible, and in amongst those psalms are some of the most spiritually poetic verses you will ever read. But also in there are verses that just scream of a man trapped in a dysfunctional family, suffering with the same kind of mental illnesses that so many people suffer with today. David was just like you and me. There were times in his life when he was bruised and broken. Yet God chose him, God wanted him, God loved him, and God used him. This invitation is to all of us. The invitation to come to me, the invitation to follow me. The verse there talks about those who are weary. Those who have heavy burdens. I don't want you to raise your hand, but who in this tent tonight doesn't have a burden? Something that is weighing you down. This is mine. My burden. There are things in here that I wouldn't want to share with you. Things that weigh heavy on my mind. A burden that I carry like a heavy weight. Things that burden me, things that weigh me down. Do you know the biggest thing that each one of us carries as a burden? Sin. something that we are born with. Something that there is only one answer to. Something that there is only one solution to. There is only one person who is able to take this huge weight, this huge burden that we all carry. And it's the man who is making this invitation. It's Jesus. When I'm crippled with self-doubt, Jesus loves me. When anxiety takes over, Jesus loves me. When depression pulls me down, Jesus loves me. With my burden of sin, Jesus loves me. The same Jesus who stood by the Lake of Galilee and said to Peter as he was fishing, "Follow me." The same Jesus who 3 years later, while praying in the garden, experienced his own moment of extreme anxiety just as he was arrested. The same Jesus who had his clothes ripped from his body and was beaten and whipped. The same Jesus that stood covered in blood and spit as Roman soldiers punched him and laughed at him. It's that same Jesus who wants to take your burden. He wants to take that huge, heavy weight that you are carrying. That same Jesus who carried his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem as people stood and laughed at him. Broken, bruised, and scarred. And when they reached a hill called Calvary, they hung Jesus on that cross with nails through each hand and nails through his feet. And as he hung there, he was still asking us to come to him. At 12 o'clock lunchtime, when the sun should have been at its highest in the middle of the day, God made the sky black so that those watching Jesus could no longer see him. And for 3 hours, Jesus suffered the most unimaginable pain you could not imagine. When he took my sin, and he made it his own. The invitation is to follow me. The invitation is to come to me. Bring your burdens of sin. This tent is full of people with burdens. Burdens that are weighing us down. Burdens that are making us weary. You know, tonight there is an opportunity for you to bring your burden to the cross. Because when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he was paying the price for us all. He was nailed to that cross to take away our sin. doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, as Jesus hung on that cross, he was nailed there for you. Tonight, Jesus is speaking, and he's saying, come to me. Come to me. Follow me. Tonight is perhaps the night that your name is listed amongst those who are following Jesus. Shall we pray? Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, the one that you sent down to this earth to give the invitation to follow him, to come unto him. And we just thank you for that man, the Lord Jesus, who was nailed to that cross so that we might be able to take our burdens, that huge burden of sin that we carry, and that he made it his very own. Tonight, Lord, perhaps there is someone in this tent who can just hear you saying to them, follow me. Come to me with all your issues or your anger or your problems or your anxiety, with your burden of sin. Come to me.
Stand, shall we?